Sorry, Ben. We hadn't collected the strips yet. That's my mistake. So if those who were going to collect those up could just pass down and you could put your named strip in the bucket.
I will use my glasses today because I'm going to read from the Bible. Whereas someone else did that for me last week. Oh, now I can't see you. So if you, while you're giving your strips out and all that, can you turn with me to Titus chapter 2? I'm going to read from verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We are doing a series on what we treasure. And we've looked at belonging, and this is part two of that. Last week was about how when we follow Jesus, it changes our perspective on who belongs, who matters. And today we're going to look at a different facet of belonging. When I first started out in youth ministry, I ran what they called back then day trips with an organisation called Fusion Australia. We'd take, 150, 200 young people from local high schools and do really fun things for a day. As part of that, we wanted to model Christian community. We wanted to take these often quite disadvantaged young people to experience things that they wouldn't normally experience. And we wanted to share our faith in Jesus with them. So I did that for a few years in what you might call some of the roughest schools in Noarlunga, with often the naughtiest young people. What really fascinated me in doing that is in school, these young people were naughty. Right. But when we took them out, and you started out the day with these young people with serious attitudes, and they treated us with a fair degree of distance, and it was tough going. And by the end of the day, as you'd done various fun things such as you'd wrestled each other in a dam that had just been emptied, so it was called a mug bowl, and you got filthy and then had to suffer because that was in the month of July, and it was freezing cold, and then you all got hosed off, literally hosed off together, and hopefully none of you end up with dysentery at the end of it all, right? So you've suffered through the whole day together, and you're all having your snag at the end of the day. And suddenly you go, these young people went from distant and disinterested to our best friends ever. And that was consistently the journey over time. What also fascinated me is if a young person came once, so they went from distant and disinterested, then to feeling like you were their best friends ever, which made our job at going to high schools a lot easier, I can add. I used to run high school programs. One of the schools I was in, I was only reflecting on this with some of our young people, I was running this program, there might have been 50 young people in the room, and then two decided that they were going to punch each other up and started hurling chairs and all around the room, and the teacher that was supervising said, let's just leave the room and leave them to it. It was a fairly interesting school. But they went from that, and then the second time they came, it'd be like, can I cook? Can I do something? You couldn't get them to do anything at school. But actually, when they felt like they belonged, what I noticed is they started to want to contribute because that was part of belonging too. They wanted to play their part. Got a photo up there just to remind me. I couldn't find a photo because I haven't scanned it yet. But that's a couple of people that, a couple of them in my family. But this reminds me of that time, the numbers of young people that came to faith and the numbers of young people that we had a positive impact on through those kinds of things. It's why I'm so big on belonging, is I have noticed over the years that belonging commends the good news of Jesus to people. That's why I'm so big on it. But when you belong, turns out you also want to contribute. Belonging in church isn't just about being among us today because your family's here, because you've got a group of friends here, because you've got common interests or pursuits. Our passage reminds us that belonging begins with God's grace and kindness to us in Jesus. Sam Thompson, who's the youth pastor at Blackwood Hills Baptist, he was driving, as Sam does, out somewhere in the bush with a young man that had done youth group with him when he was younger, disappeared from church for numbers of years, and then had reconnected because Sam likes hunting things and decided he wanted to go hunting with Sam. So it's hours of driving, and this young man said to Sam, "I really love youth group, it's awesome. And I love that you teach young people to be a good person." And Sam was like, "What? When did we ever teach people to be good people?" For him, that wasn't the key thing. For this young man who kind of ditched church, he thought that was the massive summary of what it meant to go to youth group to be a good person. And this writer in America has a similar observation. Her name's Kendra Creasy Dean, in a book called Almost Christian. They surveyed 3,000 American Christian young people aged between 13 and 17, to see what they believed in with regards to faith. And they ended up naming this belief, which is almost Christian, they said, as moralistic therapeutic deism. These young people believe that God existed, that he created and ordered the world, and he watches over human life, good start. God wants people to be good, nice and fair to each other, as taught in the Bible and by most world religions. That the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about yourself, and that God does not need to be involved in your life except when you're in trouble, and that good people will go to heaven when they die. That's kind of the summary. That is the summary of what is written about in the book. And it's almost Christian. It has this picture of God as a divine therapist whose main goal is to make you happy and make sure you do the right thing. Kendra Creasy Dean says that it reduces Christian faith to being about being nice, about being all about me and my comfort and my happiness, like where does helping others fit in? When you go through a tough time and it turns out you don't get the answers from God that you want, then where is that God? And it doesn't give you any real resources for hope because it's all about you. And if that goes down, then what else do you have? And the problem comes, people start thinking like that when you start at verse 12 of our passage today. If you say Christian faith teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. If you start at verse 12, you end up thinking like that young man thought, which is Christianity is about being a good person, or like these young people from the US survey. You think it's about being good, making good efforts. And if you think that, you'll either see Christian faith as pretty dull, because let's be honest, if you're a young person, how interesting is it when you're good, or difficult, because the good that the Christian faith asks you to be is pretty hard, or both. Fortunately for you and I, Christian faith does not begin in verse 12. Thank God for that. What's verse 11 say? This is going to be annoying. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Begins there, doesn't it? doesn't begin with being good. It begins with God's grace that appears to us and offers us a genuine rescue. He fills it out in verse 14. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Some key thoughts in this verse, worth going home and having a look at it again. First thing he talks about is Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. That in the death, life and death and resurrection, that God is at work offering us a rescue. A rescue, that salvation's been made known to us in the person of Jesus, and he's rescued us, redeemed us from all wickedness. The image here is that people are in captivity to their sin, to other people's sin, to their shame, and they're in slavery and they need rescuing, they need redeeming. And that's what God has done for us in Jesus. He's given himself to set you and I free. That's the core message of what Kay brought today. That's the hope that people had when they passed away, is that God rescued them through Jesus. So Jesus has given himself for us to redeem us. For what reason? Goes on to say in verse 14, to purify for himself a people that are his very own. You're not just rescued, which is pretty good news, but actually you also now belong to God. You purify, he's purifying you to be his people that are his very own. And fundamentally, when Christians talk about belonging, that's what they mean. They fundamentally mean, I belong to God because of what Jesus has done for me. I am now God's very own. The first thing we should remember is we belong to God. Last week I defined belonging as that feeling of security and support we get when we know we are accepted as we are. And the basis for that, for the Christian believer, is it starts with God first. He sees us exactly as we are. He does. And that's, by the way, that's the bit of belonging that's very difficult for most of us. We would hate for you to know exactly who I am, because that's just too crazy scary if you were to know what kind of, certainly, craziness that goes on in my mind and heart. If you saw the dark spaces, you wouldn't want me to belong to you. That's Brené Brown, who does stuff on vulnerability, he talks a lot about that. Well, actually, it turns out that God knows us through and through. The good, yes, and the bad. And he has loved us by sending us Jesus and has come to rescue us from all of those dark things we're so ashamed of. So that gives us this security that we belong to God first. And it gives us the security to extend to other people that they can belong as well. That they can be, we can be open to people who are new to us or even unlike us. Because inside us, we're not operating out of insecurity. I need to be needed. I need to be loved. I need you to like me. We're offering out of the fact that we are loved, we are liked, we are accepted, and we can embrace other people too. It sets us free when we know we belong to God from working hard to earn the right to belong with God and with others. You know, Jeff Bullock, it's a sad story, isn't he? He was extraordinarily successful. At the time, he would have been probably the most well-known worship leader and songwriter in the world. In fact, I'd suggest that Jeff Bullock established, whether you like it or not, established the pattern for music and worship that the majority of the Protestant world has embraced, without reservation maybe. Now, every YouTube clip that you watch that's done by Hillsong and Bethel and on it goes, by every single church that's using any kind of music, you trail that, track that all back to Jeff Bullock. And what a sadness to hear that this man was busy performing in the worst sense of the word. He was eager to be accepted. He felt that inferior complex, that he was the wrong guy. And if only people found out who he really was, then they would finally tear it all away from him. Yeah, that's what happens when we put our belonging in the wrong place, even in church. When it's centered on God, which is what Jeff has gone on to discover, that he could be broken and he's accepted, and that God has grace and kindness for him. See how Jeff goes through all of that, comes out the other side and remembers that verse 11 is the place you start. That God's grace and kindness comes first. And when we know that, we're set free from trying to earn it all. And it sets us free from being disappointed when the church is less than perfect, which I don't know if you've noticed, is in fact the case. Because the center of our belonging is in God, not in fragile, frail people. Now, I know more than most how fragile and frail the church is, partly because I'm a pastor's kid. And I grew up in a pretty fragile and frail church. I got story after story of absolutely disgusting behavior for years in the name of Jesus. And now this maybe tells you my illness, and now a pastor. Much to my reluctance at the time when it first all happened, but here I am. And I've discovered that we're still just as fragile and frail. People let us down. Even worse, people hurt us. That's part of the family. So why am I at it? Why am I still here? Because my sense of belonging doesn't actually sit with you. Not first. Actually, not even last. It doesn't sit with you. It sits with I belong to God. This is His family. And we stick at it. And I can see a few people nodding their heads because they know both, hopefully, the hope as well as the hurt. Hopefully you know both. But when you belong to God and then you go, God loves these people for all of our awkwardness and ugliness. God loves us. And He's put us together, and it helps you persist with all of our fragilities and frailties. It's His family. Turns out, this is my family. And finally, this passage takes us to where we contribute. When you belong, remember those young people, you start to want to contribute. Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, love this phrase, eager to do what is good. There's a point to all of this. We don't belong to God so that we're His toys, so that God can feel happy with God's self. We don't belong to God so that we're in a cozy club to make ourselves feel better, though that actually does happen. We do feel better. We belong to God so that people's lives are transformed and they are eager to do what is good. There's intent. There's a direction for our belonging. And it turns out that when you belong, it changes you so that you want to contribute, you want to play your part. Did you notice the sentence didn't say they must do good? I told them to do good. Did you notice that? The sentence doesn't say that. It says that they are eager to do good. You know, with those young people all those years ago, we never told them to take up a job. Never. In fact, it was an utter surprise to us that they wanted to. But when they belonged, they were eager to. Eager to. It is a little indicator. I mean, I speak to young people. I go to youth group on Friday night and I watch lots of fun and that's awesome. And then in the night, I notice who cleans up. You tell me. Who cleans up at the end of the night? The leaders clean up. That's really tick for them. What I'd like to extend you on is that if you really love it there, and if you really love belonging, then maybe your heart could shift to but you also being eager to do good and chipping in and tidying up the place. Friday night, I don't know how late they would have been here on Friday night. That was a big mess. How late were you, Ash? What time you go home? Only 10. That was a big, big mess. But that's what happens. It does happen. That it shifts our heart when we love belonging and want to play our part. What I actually also know is often young people, when they get through year 12, want to come back and help out because they become eager to do good. And so Paul says that when the salvation of God is at work in our life, back in verse 12, that what it does is it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It changes us so that we become godly and holy and we live with self-control and we are upright and we live godly lives in this present age. That's what happens when we belong to God. You change. And you change in a way that means that you're not just nice people. That kind of irritates me. Who wants to be nice? Anyone here? Of course, you kind of want to be nice, but nice sounds so nice. You're not just nice people. You're not just well-behaved, good citizens. You're contributors. You're generous and helpful for the sake of others. You are eager to do good for the sake of the world so that people's lives are better off. That's the kind of eager that you are eager for. So do you see the order? Jesus redeems us, so we belong and play our part in God's work in our world. See that order? You're rescued, you belong, and then you want to play your part. You don't get belonging in the church unless you know you're rescued. Because you will end up like the young man with Sam Thompson and sadly like the 3,000 13 to 17-year-old young people. You'll end up like them thinking that what you need to do is earn your way to be right with God. Be a nice person and do good things. And you won't have that profound sense of belonging that comes when you know you're redeemed and rescued because of grace and kindness. And you get belonging and you get playing your part when you know you're rescued in all the best kind of ways. You're set free from the kind of challenge that Jeff Bullock had back in the 80s and 90s and discovered later freedom from. Kind of challenge that even, well, let's be honest, all of us have lived under, trying to look like we're doing the right thing, and in our hearts we're acting out of insecurity. You get the first step, you have it all. You miss the first step, you miss it all. It starts with God's rescue first. You belong to Him. I want to thank everyone in our church that contributes. I'm very glad for it. It literally would not happen. The many things that are good in our church would not happen without your contributions. And your actions say that you belong here. It says how important the people are, the place is to you. But in all of that, don't miss the heart of it. Don't start at verse 12. Start at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation for all people. We're not going to cajole you and arm twist you to do anything around here. If that's been your experience, I apologize right now. But that's not the way it works. It's grace that brings us into God's family, and then from there we serve. If your sense of belonging and contribution have not been strong, then that could be because of us. No question. We're fragile people. We let the team down. But I wonder if you've considered it could be you. Your sense of belonging and contribution could be a function of your sense of belonging to God. Now, you're disappointed in us, maybe. You're struggling with us because you really what you're looking for from us should come from God. I'm not being rude, I just want to put it out there. Do you know you're safe with him? Do you know that his kindness and grace is fundamentally all you need? That you could be in the craziest church with the greatest joy because you know his salvation has appeared for you. So what if that's the case, why don't you start there in prayer and in his word? And so pray things like, God, grow me in knowing your love, grace, mercy, kindness. I want to know more of that. Help me know I'm safe with you. I belong to you. I'm going to hand over to Miranda as we just close. Thanks, Miranda.
Let's pray together. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. Lord, help us to know whether it's again after many times, whether it's the first time, may we know your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your redemption this morning. We confess that we're always trying to do things on our own. We confess that we think it's enough sometimes to be nice and to do the right thing. Remind us again that we need to not keep from falling from grace, but to fall into grace. Our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Lord, we thank you that we are your very own. And not just as a bunch of individuals, but we together are your own, your church, your bride. Help us to do what we need to do to truly belong, to act out what is already true. Lord, may we not do things out of duty or because nobody else will, but place in our hearts an eagerness to do good, an eagerness to serve you and to serve our brothers and sisters. For what the heart desires, the mind controls and the will does. Thank you for this word this morning. Please fix it in our minds. Put it in front of us all week. Help us to grow as a result of hearing your word, and let us act on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.